Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 12th of March, recording at 9:15 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick review of the day. Asian stock markets were mostly up following Wall Street's big gains last night. China was an exception. It was down. And that may have caused, undoubtedly, in my view, caused some of the Asian stock markets to close off their highs, well off their highs on the day. And we saw in Europe, we saw reasonably good gains in here today, upside follow through. Wall Street had been up for most of the day, but then closed with modest declines. The biggest one was 0.9 of a percent, just under 1%, in other words, or a tenth under 1%, for the S&P 500 index. Now, in other developments here, the most significant one is unquestionably the dollar's weakness today, a big decline. We have seen the dollar index down as low as 72.20, and it's at 72.30 right now. That's a new low. And we see the euro currently at 155.57. Sterling, which had lagged for quite a while, but is at 202.78 as I speak. Precious metals. Gold is up about $10 at 983 and a half. All the metals were up today, and that's including the industrial metals, of course. Most of the commodities were firmer today, even lumber to my relief. And wheat among the grains and beans was the standout. Actually, corn and soybeans were down a little bit, but mostly we saw strength in these markets. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, it's hardly surprising that with the China still weak, and with the Asians wary of being jerked around too much by Wall Street antics, you know, the sort of thing we've seen, that Wall Street has might look quite impressive one day and then is weak the next, and of course overall there have been more weak days than good days, otherwise there wouldn't be the downtrends on Wall Street. Again, these markets are going to be a little bit wary of developments on Wall Street. That's hardly surprising. My feeling here is that, again, we have seen an extreme of sentiment, and which I don't think is quite so panicky as we saw back on the 22nd of January, but the Fed is certainly trying to combat the various problems that people are worrying about so much, and importantly, an investors' advisory sentiment indicator produced by our sister firm, the New York Division of Investors Intelligence, their latest sentiment reading indicator is the most bullish it's been since October 2002. Now, subscribers will be able to see this chart, and I strongly recommend that you do look at this chart. And, of course, October 2002 was the actual bottom of the bear market, the big bear market following the burst NASDAQ bubble, although that was a bottom that was stretched out over the better part of a year with three hits on the downside, and the last one occurring in 2003, just before the Gulf War. Second Gulf War, that is. Now, people will say, so what, it's different this time. They always say it's different this time, as I've written in my copy. And they're right, it is different this time, in the sense that the fundamentals are always different. And this indicator, though, I think Rich certainly, well, it's certainly important in my view. It's given five oversold readings in the last decade, of which this is the second biggest, and these have been gold dust. So I do strongly suggest that you have a look at it. Again, people will say, ah, but we can't compare today's conditions with, for instance, 1998 when it had given an important buy signal because that credit crunch wasn't anywhere nearly as bad as today's credit crunch. Or they'll say back in October 2002 that, well, that was the end of this very long drawn bear market. But remember what people were saying in October of 2002. A lot of people were saying we're going into a deflationary depression. It's kind of hard to remember that at this stage for some people, perhaps. But the key point on this is that sentiment indicators have been giving some pretty bullish signals. I've mentioned a number of these before. We had the record short interest back in for January, or the highest short interest figure that we'd had since the 1930s. I posted a Bloomberg article to that effect. We had the first insider buying on Wall Street since 1995. So there have been quite a number of developments, and now this one's is as good as it gets in my view, because this investors' intelligence indicator really has been very, very good at identifying important market bottoms. Okay. Now, could it be wrong this time? Of course. We could actually have the genuine financial Armageddon that a number of people have been forecasting. We could have astronomers spot a doomsday rock tonight, heading straight for the USA, or planet Earth, actually. It wouldn't much matter where it landed. But I wouldn't bet on either of these possibilities anytime soon. I'd back this indicator, which we see in the company of the other indicators that I've just mentioned. Does that mean that Wall Street could not possibly move below yesterday's low and the low that we had seen back on the 22nd, 23rd, I think it was, of January? No. No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that we probably have quite limited downside risk, although that doesn't mean that the markets necessarily will go up a lot in the short term. And there may be some months of convalescence, as I mentioned on so many occasions. Now, what would the markets have to do to go up a bit? Well, to provide technical evidence that the indicator was correct. Well, hold their lows would help, and we need to see a rally back up that takes out some of the downtrends that people are drawing on their charts, improving sentiment among the technical forecasters, and rallies need to take out the highs that we had seen following the February rally. And in other words, establish uptrends. This sometimes takes time at bottoms, particularly if there is an important fundamental concern. And there is an important fundamental concern. What about China's underperformance? Well, we've got supply concerns, and we also have inflation concerns there, which continue to weigh on the market. My feeling is that we've seen most of that decline overall, but I have felt that before, and it's continued to. Well, I think probably that will prove right, but I felt that we were probably seeing a bottom on China, and it has continued to ease, although it hasn't fallen a long way since I have felt that we were in a bottom area. But we need to see some stronger upward dynamics to indicate that a low has been established for that index. I suspect China's in a buying range, as I've said previously. I suspect most markets are in a buying range right now, and that we may not see all that much in the way of performance over the next few months, as I've just mentioned, but that we will in a year or two's time, and possibly quite a bit sooner, definitely quite a bit sooner in terms, I feel, of the main fuller money secular themes. Now, why did Wall Street fall back here today? I think this had a lot less to do with subprime and a lot to do with the weakness of the US dollar. And then we also had the crude oil price hitting another new high. It's been doing that every day, but the high today was $110.20 for light sweet crude, and I don't think that this is going to stop. As a matter of fact, Owen said today, perhaps $100 is the new floor for crude oil. Well, that's a possibility. Most definitely. Now, of these events, you might recall back in the ancient history of last year that I often cited three factors that would give me some concern about the stock market, and those were surging bond yields. We're certainly not seeing those right now. And the other two were a plunging US dollar, and the other was a spike in the oil price. Well, oil isn't spiking, but it is, as I've just said, hitting new highs here practically every day. So that's definitely a headwind. And the dollar, while good for the consolidated earnings of US multinational companies, is going to prey on people's confidence at some point in here. And this is a pretty big drop today. I'll be interested to see what the main financial press actually makes of this today, or whether or not they ignore it. It would be quite good news actually if they ignored it. Now, government bonds. They were very strong in here today. The U.S. government bonds, that is, gilts are actually down on the day. Bonds up a little bit, but the U.S. Treasuries are really quite strong in here today. Now, I've said that when Wall Street picked up, that we would see these bonds weaken, and I think that does apply to most bond markets around the world. I've also said that I felt that U.S. bonds, long-dated government bonds in particular, were an exceedingly poor investment. Because we have interest rates that are really around the rate of the reported inflation figures in the USA, but those exclude energy and oil. I beg your pardon, energy and foods. And everybody living in the States knows that inflation is a whole lot higher than the official statistics. People living in just about any other country will identify with that as well. So that's a very bearish script for the U.S. bond market, and we also know that the U.S. is going to produce a lot more of these bonds, and we also know that a lot of creditor nations are up to their eyeballs in U.S. bonds and keen to lighten. So why are the bonds steady in here? And I think a factor that I haven't emphasized enough which may be the dominant theme for a while. I have often referred to the recapitalization, the need to recapitalize the banking sector through the yield curve. And of course, as you know, that's achieved by the Fed pushing down those short-term interest rates, which will fall further on the 18th of this month. And that enables the banks to go in and borrow from the Fed at very attractive rates, far better rates than you and I could certainly get at any bank, assuming any bank is willing to lend. And then those banks can take that money borrowed from the Fed and leverage it up in long-dated treasury bond futures. Now, such is the need for capital by these banks that we could all grow old waiting for interest rate differentials alone, even on a highly leveraged basis, to provide sufficient capital to cause the bank's balance sheet problems to be ancient history. Now, therefore, they also need capital gains, and their actual buying of the treasuries with all this money borrowed from the Fed will help to underpin those long-dated bonds. And if that tempts some of these sovereign wealth funds and other foreign government entities to bail out of some more of their treasuries, where they are certainly not getting an attractive interest rate and they are losing money in the currency, then the Fed will almost certainly step in, probably indeed almost certainly has stepped in to bid those bonds up as well. So my feeling, to update my thoughts on this, I think that this recapitalization process may keep the treasuries stronger for longer than would otherwise be the case. That's no bad thing for the stock market, incidentally. And therefore, I probably won't be reshorting anytime soon. I do still have a very small short position in the JGBs, but that's probably a mistake. I'm just if I get a bit of a pullback following the rally that we've seen recently, I will cover that. Now, what else to mention here? This dollar, this extremely weak performance in here today. The best that I can see, and I've said the dollar is a little oversold technically, but it's unlikely to see more than a short covering rally. That remains the case here. Now, what would the catalyst be? Well, we get technical rallies against individual currencies when central banks in their respective countries really go in and intervene on their own behalf or kick up a fuss, do a lot of jawboning to try to prevent their currency from appreciating that much further. It has a short-term effect, but ultimately proves to be a losing battle. You've heard me say before that I think that we may well not see a sustainable low or the for the US dollar without multilateral intervention, and I don't think we're likely to see that soon. And failing that, we won't see a low for the US dollar, I don't feel, or a decent at least medium-term rally of significance for the dollar until the US economy has pulled out of its steep slowdown and whatever recession we see, if we get that statistical recession. As you know, the domestic economy is in deep recession, and it's the multinational side of the US economy that's keeping the statistics. If the US skirts by without experiencing a technical recession, of two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth, then it'll be due to those multinational companies. But of course, and the American public feels the domestic side of the recession more often than not, and that's that is painful. Now, what I want to go to now is talk about these precious metals. This weak dollar is certainly a tailwind for the precious metals. They haven't responded anywhere near as much as they might have previously, and that's probably because we've seen such a good run. And I'm not the only person who's aware that of the cycles that we have seen, the medium-term cycles of approximately 26 months that we have seen for these precious metals. And we haven't run through 26 months yet, but I've emphasized almost daily that we're in a latter stage of this cycle, and that's also evidenced by the accelerations that we've seen in silver, particularly, and platinum, which had led, as it so often does, and also palladium, which had a strong catch-up move. Now, gold's action is still quite steady. I do feel that we will see most likely another heave, pushing it up over the $1,000 level. And because of that, I picked up a bit more gold in here. I reopened some gold longs here today. Now, silver is the one that I've played in the main previously, and if I'm right on the gold, I would have done better in to have bought the silver, if you follow me. But that it probably. Probably, but that's done so well on the upside that I'm happy to give that one a miss at this stage and go for the hopefully the quieter and somewhat duller but still profitable run in the gold bullion futures. I, of course, also hold gold fund, gold share funds, and into some individual gold shares. Industrial metals, I like the outlook for those. Now, most analysts, or too many analysts in my view, are just focusing on the weak US economy, and that's not all that critical in terms of demand for these metals. And when most people focus on this in terms of the U.S. economy, they talk about housing demand, well, and perhaps automobiles. But I think you'll see more consumption of metals coming from the U.S. over the next few years than most people currently expect. I look for big infrastructure development programs to help the U.S. economy. And but the main story, though, is of course the global infrastructure boom. And that really is going to continue, led by China. So I think we're going to see further gains in these metals, and they are of course priced in weak U.S. dollars as well. Crude oil, I think I've pretty much covered. I'm a believer in peak oil. I have been all along, but again, one has to qualify that a little bit. That doesn't mean that there isn't plenty of oil around and shale and tar sands and so on. But in terms of the light sweet crude, that I think we are most definitely running out of. And that's what we're looking at when we look at these US crude oil prices. Natural gas firm in here again today. This is definitely heading higher, in my view. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the main themes. Don't miss this Investors Intelligence report. Their indicator that you want to look at, I suggest, and also the summary from Mike Burke and John Gray. Meanwhile, All the very best to all of you.